Turn with me in your Bible. If you have your own Bible with you, that's great. Otherwise, grab the Pew Bible. We're going to begin in the book of Luke this morning. We're going to stay there. I'm going to bring you two different stories this morning, beginning in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And then we're going to flip to Luke 23, 39 through 43. Luke 16, you're going to see Jesus having a conversation. And we see this, a rich man and Lazarus, who's a poor man, who's has boils and sores and stuff like that. And you're going to see a picture of what hell is like. And I'm going to say Hades. And you're going to learn more about the difference of those two in this message today. And then we're going to go to Jesus on the cross. He has two thieves by his side. And we see Jesus use the word paradise. And we're going to talk about the difference between paradise and what the eternal heaven will be like this morning and everything in between there. And so that's what you're going to learn today. You're going to learn, we still haven't got to the climax yet of what's hell really going to be like. That's still coming yet. But today you're going to have a lot of information. I need you to take your outline out with me this morning. When we get to this point in the message, I'm going to ask you to look at, flip it over, and there's going to be a map on the back of the city of Jerusalem in Jesus' time. And I'm going to give you some cultural history that will help explain to you what Hades means, how it is used, and how that's referenced in their time and what they understood, okay? So hang on. I'm going to give you a lot of information in a short amount of time, but I think you're going to really enjoy this message today, all right? For me, it was good and gives me understanding, especially if you're a believer today. You get a rest in this. But if you're not, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to turn the heat up a little bit, literally, all right? So you need to know where you're at. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. Now this is a parable, remember. Jesus would have spoke this. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Now let me clarify that Abraham's side would be another set of words to mean heaven, or into the presence of Jesus, okay? The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." And how true that is today, isn't it? Because Jesus hasn't risen from the dead yet. And still, how many people still are unbelievers in the world that you and I live in today? Turn now to Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 39. So Jesus is on the cross. The two criminals are by his side, one on each side, and they're having this conversation. And listen to what goes on here. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." All right, so hang on to that word paradise this morning as we go through the message today. I have one more thing I want to read you this morning from the Heidelberg Catechism. It'll be on the screen. Lord's Day 22, question and answer 57, and here's the question. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? All right? And here's the answer to that. Biblically, there's some verses, some of those we read this morning. The answer to that, biblically, here's what it says. Not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ, its head, but also my very own flesh will be raised by the power of Christ, reunited with my soul, and made like Christ's glorious body. Now, let me explain that just a little bit this morning, and then we're going to pray here as we get into my message. Your soul leaves your body the moment that you die, enters into the presence of Jesus. Now, the second part of that question about your very flesh will be raised by the power of Christ would be when Christ returns from the dead, and the dead in Christ rise up out of their graves, your spiritual body, which was with Jesus if you're a believer, will be clothed in a glorified new body, all right, on that day. Now, there's a lot of things that go on between then and now, right? And so we'll get into that this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that as we dig into this message this morning that your Spirit will just fill us. Lord, give us biblical understanding. Give us the questions that we have about what does death look like in those final moments when we leave this earth. Lord, your Bible teaches us those things. Lord, and so may we be enlightened by them. Lord, may these words be your words, and I pray, Lord, that you fill me with the Spirit today as I bring my message to your people. Lord, may your people, by the Spirit, be just overwhelmed with your presence today, and may they be given understanding and the concentration they need to hear your message today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I have a picture I want to show you this morning. Let me introduce you to our dog, Django. Django, he's about 7 years old. He's a little blue heeler Australian Shepherd cross, and he lives with us. And he brings our family a lot of joy, and we enjoy him. But let me tell you about the kind of dog that he is. Notice where he's laying here. He's in our kitchen living room area. And Django's the type of person that he wants to be with us wherever we are, especially Dory. And so he loves to be where she's at in the house, just about all the time. So if Dory goes into another room and she closes the door and the dog's not quick enough to get there, the dog lays on the other side of the door and he whines because he wants to be where Dory is at. And so I want you to think about your spiritual life this morning, because that dog has no idea what's on the other side of the door, by the way. All he can hear is Dory's voice, and she knows that that's the room that she went into. And so he is eager to get where he wants to be with Dory. And so I want you to think about this in your life. We don't know what lies behind the door of death. Now, I can tell you, we know we go to meet Jesus. We get that understanding. We're in the presence of God. But you have never been there, neither have I. There are some things that I cannot answer this morning, because we are not given answers in Scripture of what that looks like when somebody experiences death, when they take their last breath on this earth. What actually goes on? What happens the moment that that takes place? But I'm going to give you what I can this morning of biblical teaching of what that might look like. And so here's the question of the message today. So what happens the moment I take my last breath on this earth? Within the Christian faith, there is a significant amount of confusion regarding this question. And let me just throw a few of those out there this morning. Some hold that after death, everyone enters into a soul sleep or the final judgment. It happens right away. Right? I do not believe that. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that. And so hold on to my other thoughts here this morning. Others believe that at the moment of death, people are instantly judged and sent to their eternal destination. All right? Now, I'm talking eternal destination, their final place that they'll be. The Bible doesn't teach that either. All right? It does when Jesus returns and people are judged. But this next phrase I'm going to read you is what we believe in the Reformed Church, and what I believe also is taught by Scripture. And you'll get that here this morning. When people die, their souls, their spirits, are sent to a temporary heaven or hell to wait their final resurrection, that final judgment, that finality that's coming of eternal heaven or eternal hell. Now, do not get this confused. If you grew up in the Catholic Church, I am not talking about purgatory. Purgatory, to me, is not a biblical thing. And if you're familiar with with Vatican II in the 1970s, the Catholic Church moved away from that teaching and decided, you know what, that's not what the Bible teaches. But you might have heard that. So what I'm talking about to you today is not purgatory. It's not a resting place that you can move your soul from one place to the other, heaven or hell. That is not what I'm talking about today. So make sure you have that understanding with me this morning. So what does the Bible say happens after you and I die? When you take your last breath on this earth, and here's what I'm going to tell you this morning, your eternity is decided. Your fate of where you will go when you pass from this earth is complete. And it will go to one of two places that I'm going to talk about this morning, and you will eventually end up in heaven or in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Believers go to heaven. Unbelievers, those who deny Jesus Christ, they go to hell. Your last breath determines where you will end up. And you cannot change that once you're gone from this earth. Once death has come upon you, your fate is decided. There are no second chances. And I'll look at that this morning as well from a biblical standpoint. That's why it is so important that you and I know who our Lord and Savior is, Jesus Christ, because when that day comes, I pray that you know Jesus. Because I don't know when that day will come, and neither do you. But for most of us, it'll come upon us as a surprise or as a shock. The hour of the day is not known. You know, some of us might be struck with a serious terminal illness, and we might have time to get right with everybody in our world and get right with Jesus and figure out our salvation. But most of us are not granted that privilege. Death will come as a surprise to you and I. And this, let me share this with you this morning. As a pastor now for a little over a decade, I've buried infants, I've buried young children, I've buried teenagers, I've buried people in their 20s, I've buried people in every age group within this congregation. And let me share this with you. On average, 5 people die per year in this church. 5 of you that are sitting here today or listening online will experience exactly what I'm talking about this morning. You will meet your maker. And I don't know who they are. So think about that in your life this morning. I have a verse on the screen, Psalm 139, verse 5. A lot of time people use this for abortion, but I want to read the second half of this verse to you. You're going to get the whole verse, but the second half is what I want to talk about. So here, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be, meaning that your life is already planned out. God knows exactly when he's going to take you from this earth and he's going to call you home. You don't know that. I don't know that. But God said that his plan for your life, it is already set. He knows exactly when it'll be, the time, the exact hour, the minute to the second when you will enter into his presence in your life. Okay? You have a set time to leave this earth. Unless Jesus returns first, that's a whole different story for another sermon. But look at it this way. How many of you have milk in your fridge at home? What do you pay attention to if you don't drink it fast enough? Come on, give it to me. The expiration date. Exactly. You have an expiration date on your life on this earth. You don't know when it is, but it's already there. And God forbid, I pray that none of you go today or this year, that God gives you a full life. But I'm going to be honest with you, that is not reality. Because I just shared with you the people that I've buried over this past decade and from every age range. So listen closely, teenagers. If you're on the fence about, well, I don't know if Jesus is my Lord and Savior or not, get off the fence. Old people, if you're thinking, well, you know, I haven't really committed fully to Jesus Christ, you know, I'm still kind of dabbling around in that, and get off the fence. Because I don't know when he's going to call you home. And so you need to know the moment that that comes into your life, your fate is sealed, heaven or hell in your life. And by the way, parents of young people that are sitting in your congregation today, go home and have some conversations with them. Talk about what this looks like. I don't want them to leave here being scared today or being filled with fear today. I want them to know about the grace of Jesus Christ, that they can have that today. And wait, get there. And my mic just quit. There we go. Okay. Think about that in your life, but think about that expiration date. All right, let's talk about these two different places. Our soul goes to paradise or it goes to Hades the moment that we die. Now, notice I didn't say it goes to heaven or to hell, because those are eternal places that are not yet set. They're not created. You and I aren't there yet. Okay? The moment you die, you either enter into the judgment of God and your soul is cast into one of those two places, paradise or Hades. They are temporary places that your soul will be until Jesus Christ returns. And then at that time, we know, according to the book of Revelation, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be an eternal hell where those souls will be judged to. Luke 23. Now, I'm sorry that the word's a little bit small. If you have your Bible open with you, I want you to turn with me if you can't see the screen this morning, because I want to read this to you this morning. I want you to hear what goes on in here, and I want to talk about that just a little bit. One of the criminals who hung on there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Essentially what he's saying is, "Jesus, I believe you're the way. Jesus, I believe that you can give me eternal life." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, for today you will be with me in paradise." He's talking about his soul. He's talking about his spirit of who he is. Not his physical body, but his spirit and his soul, that it would be in the presence of Jesus Christ immediately after he died on that cross, in paradise. Believers' souls enter into the presence of Jesus Christ. The thief, who is a sinner, went to be with Jesus in paradise. And there our soul remains until the final judgment day when Christ returns and then everybody is judged. Now, some of you are thinking, what does that look like and how's that going to go? And this will probably be another sermon for another time, but let me just expand that just a little bit so you don't leave here thinking, well, what goes on? The moment you take your last breath and you're a believer in Christ, you go to be with Jesus, and that final judgment day is not a scary, intimidating day. It's a day when you're judged on your works. What did you do upon this earth for the kingdom and for Jesus and your works? What did you do? You don't get saved by your works. You're saved by grace. Don't get the two confused. And those who reside in Hades, that temporary place that is filled with torment that the rich man experienced, they will encounter the great white throne judgment that Revelation speaks of, and they will be cast into the eternal hell, and they will be judged upon the bad things that they did in this life. And the Bible talks about different levels of hell. Another sermon for another day. Of those who will be tormented in great ways. How long is eternity, people? Forever. How long does the good Lord give you upon this earth if you're lucky and things go well? 90 years? Maybe some reach 100? Most don't. See, your life is nothing but a speck in the time of eternity of where you'll spend the rest of your life. So what are you doing with it? What's going on in your life today? Let me talk about paradise for a moment. And I've actually had people ask me this question. When a loved one dies, or they know that at some point in time in the next few weeks they'll be leaving this earth because they have cancer or some kind of disease or old age is starting to break down their bodies. And they ask me this: will paradise be as good as living here on this earth? And here's my answer to that. I said, you're in the presence of Jesus Christ. When you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you it will be better than living upon this earth in that temporary place. Now, let me also talk to you about one other thing in the Bible. Where else do you see the word paradise used in Scripture? One other time, besides when Jesus speaks of the heavenly place in his presence. There's one other time that the word paradise is used in the Bible. And I'm going to give you a hint this morning so you can get this figured out. You have to go all the way back to Genesis 1. Creation. Before the fall. Before sin. God created the heavens and the earth. And the Garden of Eden. Perfect. Right? Adam and Eve are living there. Fruits abound. They're taken care of. They're perfect. And the Garden of Eden is referred to as paradise. And then things fall apart, and the sinful world takes off. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is back on the scene, and he's hanging on the cross, and he's going to be with the Father in heaven, and he says to the thief, you'll be with me in paradise today. Paradise will be a great place. Paradise will be better than what you and I live in today in this world. For believers. And may I say this, for unbelievers, this is as close to heaven as they'll ever get in the world that they experience today. This is the most grace that they'll receive. This is the most love that they'll receive on this side of heaven and hell is right here today in this place. Think about that in your own life this morning. For those of us who don't receive Jesus, death means everlasting punishment. And it's eternal once you're sent there. If you look with me, you can turn your Bible to Luke 16 if you can't read the screen this morning. Verse 23 through 24 is the story of this rich man. We read it once, but I want you to hear it again this morning. Just listen to how this goes. I want you to listen about the rich man when he's in this temporary hell, Hades, by the way, is what the Bible refers to it as. Notice how he acts. Notice who he's still worried about. And notice who he wants to come help him. All right? Because how did it look on earth when he lived the rich life? And by the way, when Jesus talks about the rich man, what he's saying is that man, he desired the worldly, earthly pleasures in life more than the things of God. That's what that talks about, the rich man and Lazarus. It doesn't say, Jesus doesn't talk about their faith, but what he talks about is the rich man enjoyed the pleasures of this life more than following Jesus Christ in his own life. Let me read it. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he's in torment. He looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send that poor beggar back to me to help me. Right? How did that rich man treat that poor beggar when he was on earth? tables got flipped, didn't they? Yes. He still couldn't get it. Even when he's in hell, he still thinks that he can have that beggar come and help him. How selfish is that of him? I mean, he's in hell and he still doesn't get the torment that he's going to receive and how bad this is going to get yet. In fact, you know, this is a parable, but there are a lot of people that live this life. They haven't experienced the fullness of hell that have died. That's still to come. And I don't want anybody to go there. Revelation 20, if you got your outline out and you want to study just a little bit more here today, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, I'm not going to read that to you today, but it describes the unbelieving dead being resurrected, being judged in the great white throne judgment, and being cast into the eternal fire of hell, is what it talks about. If you want to know more about that area in your life, they're sent to Hades to be judged on the great white throne when Jesus returns, to be cast into the eternal hell with their soul for those who don't believe. And the rich man cried out, "I'm in agony in this fire." You see, once you go there, you cannot change your address. And I'll give you biblical proof for that this morning. Luke 16, verse 26 says this. Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things. The good things is your earthly pleasures that you thought were so good that you spend all your time on. That's what he said to the rich man. You've already received them. That's what you desired. That's where your heart was. While Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you're in agony. And besides this, between you and I, there's this great chasm that has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you, they can't. This brings up the picture too, by the way. Some people think theologically that people in hell will be able to see the greatness in heaven. Wow, wouldn't that be something? But you in heaven, you will not be able to see back into the torments of hell when you're in the presence of Jesus Christ. I don't know if that's true or not, but there's some theologians that they think that's part of the torment. Whew. So that rich man's giving you and I a warning. Do everything you can to make sure that people don't end up there. That's what he says to you and I. You know, and I'm preaching to the choir this morning because I know a lot of you are believers, but you know people who are not. They're not walking in their faith. They need to hear that. They need to hear the goodness of Jesus Christ. Let me get you to the cultural events because I think this is where we'll head home a little bit more. You can get your map ready, and we're going to start talking about this just a little bit because when Jesus was roaming this earth and he's speaking to the people, this is what he encountered. This is what was going on around the city of Jerusalem. So let me lay the groundwork for you this morning in this conversation. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word used to describe the realm of the dead was Sheol, all right? That is a Hebrew word, and so you'll see it mentioned. It simply means this, the place of the dead. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures, it could have been heaven or hell, the place of the dead, because both were dead. And then we get this new word that comes in the New Testament that's equal to Sheol, and it's Hades. And in the New Testament, Jesus uses it specifically for a place of torment, Hades. All right? Not the permanent hell, but the temporary hell. And it's referred to as a place of the dead. And then, hang with me, then we get the Greek word Gehenna, which is used in the New Testament for hell. And it is derived from the Hebrew word Hinnom. All right? Now hang on to those words, because your map, I'm going to show you some things that they would have understood in their culture. I want you to think it in ways like this. What are some places that a Christian should never go in this world? Now, there are many things you can probably think of, but this is what I want you to think of. In the city of Jerusalem, it was fortified with a wall a big wall made out of stone. And at night, the people would go inside the city. They'd go in their homes and they'd be protected. They'd shut the big gates and the doors and people would be in at night because outside of that wall, you would find robbers and women would get raped and people beaten and all kinds of things would go on outside the city wall. And you see, the people in Jesus' day, they would have understood that we are under the protection of God when we stayed in the city. But when you ventured outside the city walls, especially at night, you felt like you were out of the presence of Jesus, out of the presence of God. And there are a lot of people that are living outside the presence of God today. Let me talk to you about this word, Hinnom, this morning. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? I haven't either, but I would like to go, all right? So let me give you a map of the city, and let me talk to you about when Jesus was talking about Hinnom and Gehenna, and he's talking about Sheol and Hades. And the Jewish people are gathering there, and they're hearing Jesus speak about heaven and hell. This is what they were hearing. This is what they were relating to. Outside the city of Jerusalem, you will find Hinnom Valley on the south side, and I will describe it to you this way. It is a, and I haven't been there, but you look at a topographical map and you'll see it. It is a rough terrain. I would say that it is a ravine. A rugged ravine right outside the city gate south of the Jerusalem wall. It drops off sharply, and they dumped all their garbage out there, and that rubbish pile, it burned day or night. And by the way, that is truth. As I learned that in seminary, it was great. And when God said, when Jesus spoke to me, he said, that place in Hinnom Valley, that's like Hades. It's outside the protection of God. It's in a place you don't want to be, and it's a fire that never goes out. And the Jews, they knew exactly where this place was at because that's where they brought their garbage. They knew what that place was like because that's where the robbers hung out. That's where those who people who would do bad things to others hung out, and they had to be careful, and you never wanted to go there at night. And Jesus says, that's what hell is going to be like. Hinnom, Hebrew, outside the presence of God. That's how they related. Share that map with others. It makes so much sense. God spoke on their terms. It's a place that you don't want to be, is what Jesus says. Let me go back to our dog. You see, our dog, he doesn't care what's on the other side of the door. All he wants to be is by the master, right? Dory and I. That's where he wants to be. He knows our voice. He doesn't care what's on the other side of the door. He just wants to be by us. And so may this be for you and I this morning. May you hear Jesus' voice. And someday when that door opens up, and I don't know when that'll be, that you get to go through that door to one of two places, I pray that you are on the other side of the door in the presence of Jesus Christ and you hear his voice, because that's all you're going to want to desire. And it will be a great, blessed place to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to go. That's where you want your children to go. That's where you want your grandchildren to be. And the only way you do that is to teach them who Jesus Christ is. And I have this verse on the bottom of the screen this morning. It's intentional because the world thinks that you can get to heaven in so many different ways. But Jesus says, this is the only way to get there. The only way. And here's what he says. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he forgives you, and that he grants you eternal life. That's how the door is opened to paradise for those who will leave this earth before he returns. And when he returns, that door is opened into the new heaven and new earth created for you and I. May we all be there one day. May you find your salvation in Jesus Christ. Young people, listen up. It's just as much for you as it is for those who are older today. And all of God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm not even sure what to pray for right now. Lord, I pray for those that maybe don't know you, that haven't given their life to you. May they know you. May they understand your ways. May their heart and life be changed in a way that will pursue you in their life. Lord, I pray for your church today upon this earth. Many churches have gone wayward. Lord, many churches have left the teaching of even the topic of hell and Hades. It's no longer talked about or spoken in churches. But Lord, you speak of it often. Lord, you speak of heaven often. And Lord, people need to know what happens after they die. Lord, now that we know as a church, we need to do something about that for those who don't know. And may your people, Lord, be given the tools, and now they have the knowledge to go share. Lord, may the lost be found. And I pray, Lord, as your sheep, that we are the light to those dark places. Lord, there are so many people that live in the dump, that live in Hades today. Lord, may we welcome them in, inside the walls, under your protection, your love, and your grace. Lord, may you hear our prayer today. In Jesus I pray, amen.